Now, brethren, in a previous sermon, we explored the fact that you cannot push a chain. It just doesn't work. The chain just folds in on itself and begins to bunch up into just a tangled bunch of chaos. It's a tangled mess of chaos. Then you spend the next couple of hours trying to untangle the chain, untangle the chain links from this huge mess. However, when you pull a chain, it's totally different. The chain follows link by link in a single line and just follows you wherever you walk. Chains work when they are pulled. Chains do not work when they are pushed. They don't function well when they're pushed. Just like the example of the chain, our Heavenly Father calls us to His Son Jesus and will lead us toward His kingdom. But we determine our relationship with our Heavenly Father by the way that we follow Him. Our Heavenly Father will not push us against our will. We have free moral agency in this. He cannot and will not lead and guide someone against their will. The fact is that for one to lead another, the one being led must be willing to follow. A leader cannot lead without followers who are willing to follow. You know, throughout the past 6,000 years of mankind's history, God our Father has called individuals into a spiritual relationship with Him, and the patriarchs of old were called into a special relationship with Him also. The apostles and disciples were called into a special relationship with our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. And we today have been called into that same special relationship with our Heavenly Father through His Son. Please turn with me to a very well-known verse in John 6:44. We all know this verse by heart. This verse is a bedrock verse in the understanding of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We read this in John chapter 6 and verse 44. John chapter 6 and verse 44. We read, "No man can come to me," words of Jesus, "no man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." So brethren, God our Father draws us to His Son, Jesus. We are to follow Jesus as our teacher and as our guide through the examples that He left us for us during His life on earth. Today, brethren, in my sermon entitled, Our Incredible Calling of Follow Me. Our incredible calling of follow me. I want to discuss the subject of our calling and the drawing from our Heavenly Father that we received and are receiving and the implications of that calling in our lives and in the lives of our predecessors in the faith. I would like to explore this important subject through 5 points. The first point concerning the subject of our calling is, follow me is the calling that we all have received. Point number one, follow me is the calling that we all have received. Brethren, there's an article entitled Discipleship in Jesus' Day found in the website jewishrootsofchristianity.org. jewishrootsofchristianity, all one word, .org. It's an interesting article about the progression of Jewish boys through school and through the learning about the Torah. There were three different schools, much like we have three different schools today, elementary school, middle school, and high school. They had much the same set of school system in that they had three completely different schools. Now, the article says, quote, "The first school was Bet Sefer, the house of the book, which was attended by young boys from ages 6 to 10. A local synagogue Torah teacher would begin teaching the children the Torah. From ages 6 to 10, Jewish boys would memorize the Torah. The second school was Bet Talmud, the house of the Talmud, which was attended by boys from ages 10 to 14. the best of the best students from the first school, or Bet Sefer, would continue on into Bet Talmud. These students would memorize the rest of the Hebrew scriptures. By 14 years of age, the best of the best students had the entire Hebrew text memorized. Students would also, at this age, begin learning the Jewish art of questions and answers. Students learned remez, R-E-M-E-Z, which means hint in Hebrew. The rabbis would call out a passage of scripture, and the student would have to give the scripture before and after that passage. They lived in the text. The third school was Beit Midrash. Beit Midrash, the house of learning. At the end of his study at Beit Talmud, when a Jewish boy was 14 years old, if he was the best of the best of the best, then he would present himself to a well-known, respected, powerful rabbi. And he would say, "Rabbi, I want to become your disciple, your Talmudim, your student. Please let me in your Beit Midrash, your house of study." And so the rabbi examined him and asked lots of questions to find out if indeed the child was the best of the best. Because each rabbi wanted to teach his thinking, his philosophy, his interpretation of Scripture. And if the rabbi believed that the student was the best of the best, that he was able to become a rabbi, he would say to him, "Lech acharai, come after me, follow me." And these are the words that the rabbi would say. It's Lech acharai, spelled this way, L-E-K-H-A-K-H-A-R-A-I. Lech acharai. We won't be talking about this term. It's a very, very important term that has meaning in our lives today. So the boy would leave, once he heard those words, the boy would leave his family compound, his village. He would leave the local synagogue. He would leave everything and follow that rabbi. He would become a Talmudim, a disciple, a student. He would devote his life to becoming exactly like that rabbi he was following. He would follow that rabbi everywhere. It would be said to such a student, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." The disciples would follow the rabbi so closely that they would become covered with the dust of their rabbi. A quote from the Talmud includes the phrase, "May you follow him so closely that the dust of his sandals covers you." But for most Jewish boys, when the rabbis quizzed them, they did not say, "Lech acharai, come follow me." But instead, they said, "Ah, my son, you know Torah, and you know Torah well, but you are not able to be my Talmudim, my disciple, my student." So the rabbi would say, "Go home to your village, make babies. Pray that they become rabbis. Go home and learn the family business, fishing, farming, carpentry, because you won't be studying to be a rabbi." So, brethren, the overwhelming majority of the Jewish men in Judea at the time of Jesus never heard those precious words, "Lech acharai, come after me, follow me." That overwhelming majority of the Jewish men at the time included the disciples that Jesus called at the beginning of his ministry. Please turn with me to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll read about Jesus' calling of his disciples. Matthew chapter 4. All four of the disciples in this chapter, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, were fishermen. They had been told long ago that they would never be rabbis and would not continue their studies under a rabbi. They never heard the words "Lech acharai" spoken to them. All that changed with their encounter with Jesus. And we read this in Matthew 4 in verse 18. Matthew 4, starting in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, lech acherai, come after me, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, using the same calling and invitation. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. The Salkins and Ginsburg Hebrew New Testament translates follow me in verse 19 as lech acherai. Again, this term, lech acherai, come after me, follow me. The same precious words that the rabbis said to the few chosen students to follow them. The Hebrew phrase is a direct word-for-word translation of the Greek words deute opiso moi, which means come after me. Peter and Andrew knew what the phrase meant. All Jews knew what that phrase meant and what it truly entailed. Just as students of the rabbis did, Peter and Andrew straightway and immediately left their nets and followed their teacher, Jesus. They immediately left everything behind. In verse 22, James and John immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed Jesus. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and we'll read about the calling of Levi. You know, Levi was a tax collector, which was an occupation totally despised by the Jews in Judea. They were collecting taxes for the Roman government, their oppressors in Judea. So Levi was a despised man in the sight of the Jews. We read about his calling in Mark 2, starting in verse 13. Mark 2, in chapter 2, and verse 13. We read, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And a parallel account of that is in Luke 5 and verse 27. Now the Greek words for follow me in verse 14 are akoluthemoi, which is Strong's 190, meaning to follow me or to join me as my disciple. Again, in the Salkins and Ginsburg Hebrew translation of the New Testament, those Greek words, follow me, are translated in Hebrew as lech acherai, come after me, or follow me. The same terminology. Well, what did Levi do? He immediately rose and followed Jesus. Levi knew exactly what the term lech acherai meant. Please turn with me to John 1. And we read about the calling by Jesus of Philip and Nathanael into discipleship. John chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 43. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43. The day after Jesus would go forth into Galilee and finds Philip and said unto him, follow me, lech acherai, come after me, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said unto him, Whence do you know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, brethren, all of the disciples received the calling of Lech Acharai, just as the students of the rabbis did. Jesus used that same calling, Lech Acharai, and we have received that same calling today in our lives. But that calling has implications and ramifications, which leads us to the second point. The second point concerning the subject of our calling is, point number two, Lech Acharai, L-E-K-H-A-C-H-A-R-A-I, come after me, follow me, means to give up everything. Point number two is Lech Acharai, come after me, follow me, means to give up everything. Again, when a student of the rabbi heard those words, Lech Acharai, come after me, follow me, they knew that in order to follow the rabbi from that point on, they would literally have to give up everything in their lives that they had. Please turn with me in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Jesus used this well-known phrase to emphasize the sacrifice it would take to follow him and to be his disciple. We read this in Mark chapter 8. And we'll begin in verse 34. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, we read, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Lech Acharai, come after me, follow me. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." The Greek words for follow me in verse 19 again are akoluthemoi, come after me. A direct Greek translation of what the Hebrew was, and then the Hebrews translated back. In the Salkinson-Ginsberg Hebrew translation of the New Testament, those Greek words are translated back into Hebrew as Lech Acharai, come after me or follow me. Please turn with me to Luke 9. The understanding of the knowledge of the implications which come from hearing the phrase Lech Acharai, come after me, follow me, makes many of the scriptures in the Bible come alive in meaning. And we read this in Luke 9, Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 59. There's a sacrifice that is involved with hearing those words, with receiving that invitation. Luke 9 and verse 59. Luke chapter 9 and verse 59. "And he said unto another, Follow me, Lech Acharai, come after me, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go you and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Brethren, upon receiving the calling of follow me, Lech Acharai, we must be willing to immediately give up everything. There is no turning back. A famous encounter of Jesus with a potential disciple includes the term lech acharai, come after me, follow me. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Now this chapter includes the interaction of Jesus and the young rich man, and Jesus is calling to him to be his disciple. This young rich man received a personal invitation by Jesus to become his disciple. We read this in Mark chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 17. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is the God, God our Father. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all of these have I done and obeyed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have, and give to the poor, that you shall have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." Lech acharai, come after me, follow me. And he was sad at that saying. The young rich man was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. A parallel account is in Luke 18. Here is an example of a young man who had great wealth, who knew the implications of hearing the words lech acharai. He knew exactly what it meant. Again, it meant much more than just following a teacher or a rabbi or a leader. He knew that it meant giving up everything he had in order to follow Jesus. Jesus even plainly told him that he would have to give up his riches. But the young rich man did not accept the calling from Jesus. He was not willing to pay the price of discipleship and the price for accepting the calling from Jesus. And he went away very sad. And Jesus was very sad too, because we read in verse 21 that Jesus loved him. He really wanted to become one of his disciples. Jesus was sad that the young man decided to pass on the invitation to become his disciple. Please turn with me to Matthew 10. There is a huge cost in accepting the invitation from our Heavenly Father to follow his Son, Jesus. Jesus discussed this subject with his disciples in Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 34. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. In Matthew 10, starting in verse 34, we read, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, against his daughter, against her mother, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." A parallel set of verses is shown in Luke 9. Again, the implications of following Jesus are to deny oneself and to give up everything in order to be his disciple. Nothing in life is more important than that. Many of us today have had to give up families, friends, and loved ones in order to follow our Heavenly Father and to follow His Son, Jesus. The third point concerning the subject of our calling is, point number three, we must become covered in the dust from the sandals of Jesus. Point number three, we must become covered in the dust from the sandals of Jesus. You know, brethren, as we've explored earlier, a disciple would follow the rabbi so closely, so very closely, that they would become covered with the dust from the sandals of their rabbi. A quote from the Talmud even includes the phrase, "May you follow him so closely, you're so far, you're right behind him, that the dust of his sandals covers you." That the dust that is kicked up by his sandals, you're so close to him, it just covers you with his dust. Please turn with me to John 12. You know, again, Jesus is our teacher and our master. As his disciples, we are to follow him so closely that we are to be covered with the dust of his sandals. Please turn with me to John 12. Jesus alludes to this fact for us to be his disciples. We read this in John chapter 12 and verse 26. John chapter 12 and verse 26. We read, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be." Wherever Jesus is, we are to be there. "And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Now, brethren, Jesus told his disciples that in following Jesus, his disciples would be where he is. That means following him closely to wherever Jesus was, his disciples would be right there, following his footsteps and being covered with the dust of his sandals. Brethren, how closely are we following in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we covered in his dust? Can people see in the way that we act, by the way we talk, by the way we treat others, by the way we show compassion to others, by the way that we show mercy to others, that we are covered in the dust from the sandals of Jesus? Are we following him that closely and mimicking and imitating him that closely? Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Apostle Peter tells us that following in the footsteps of Jesus will bring suffering in our lives. It's not a cakewalk. There's a cost involved with responding to our calling. That this suffering is a part of our calling from our Heavenly Father. They go hand in hand. In 1 Peter 2, we'll begin in verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. The Apostle Peter writes, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Following his steps where we have dust on us from those steps. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." Brethren, are we prepared to suffer for our commitment to worshiping our Heavenly Father and to following our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we prepared to suffer? Please turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and we will read the famous prophecy of the coming of Jesus as a human to die for our sins. This portion of Scripture contains some very pertinent and important descriptions of the future anointed one who would come into the world. Read this in Isaiah 53, and we'll begin in verse 1. Isaiah 53, and we'll start in verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of Yehovah revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. All talking about Jesus. He is despised. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we were hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, of the God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes we are healed. Just like Peter had said in 1 Peter 2. And then in verse 6, and we all like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, and Yehovah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, as a side note, verse 6 shows that Yehovah was God our Father, and not Jesus, because our Heavenly Father, Yehovah, laid our iniquities on Jesus. Jesus did not lay our iniquities on himself. The Father laid those iniquities on him. Brethren, have we ever thought of Jesus, the very Son of the Most High Mighty One, as being a man of sorrows and familiar with grief? If the very Son of our Heavenly Father was a man of sorrows and intimately familiar with suffering, as the International Standard Version translated the verse, why are we surprised that we have suffering in our lives when we are following closely in Jesus' footsteps? Peter, again, addresses this in 1 Peter 4. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. The Apostle Peter addresses this concept very plainly. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So, brethren, when we face fiery trials, when we face fiery tests, when we are suffering wrongly, when we are enduring sickness and disease and discomfort, when we are enduring seemingly endless hardships and pain in our lives, let us not be surprised. We should expect this in our lives as we walk in Jesus' footsteps, because he himself endured suffering walking those footsteps. And we are to be covered in his dust. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 1. The Apostle Paul addresses imitating Christ and enduring severe suffering that it brings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 will begin in verse 1. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. This letter is from Paul and Silas and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. We always thank God, which is Hotheos, God our Father, the God, for all of you and pray for you constantly. And as we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work and your loving deeds and the enduring hope that you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God, Ho Theos, the God, God our Father, loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. In verse 6, so you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering that it brought to you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord, being covered by the dust of Jesus. The Lord here is Ho Kurios, the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. As a result, you have become an example to the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. Now, brethren, the question to ask ourselves is, are we following in the footsteps of Jesus so closely that we are covered in his dust, no matter the suffering that it brings to us? The fourth point concerning the subject of our calling is, point number 4, this calling of Lech Acharai was given to the patriarchs of the Old Testament. This calling of Lech Acharai was given to the patriarchs of the Old Testament. Now, the Hebrew verb from which the word lech, from Lech Acharai, which just means come, lech means come, it or to follow, is conjugated from the Hebrew infinitive halach. This is the infinitive of the verb from which lech comes from, and it's halach. It's H-A-L-A-K, but since it's at the end, it has a different sound at the end, so it's a halach. So it's H-A-L-A-K-H. Now, this is Strong's number 1980, and this verb means to come, to go, and to walk. This verb, halach, is found everywhere in the Old Testament. It's just everywhere in the Old Testament. And it's usually found in the introductions of Yehovah to the patriarchs whom Yehovah called to serve him. Now, please turn with me to Genesis 5. Genesis chapter 5. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was a righteous man. Not much is written about Enoch except that he walked with our Heavenly Father. Genesis chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 21. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. We read in Genesis 5 verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. This is Ha Elohim. The God, that is specifically for God our Father, after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, Ha Elohim, not just Elohim, but Ha Elohim, which all the Jews know is Yehovah, that is God our Father, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the Hebrew word, or the Hebrew verb for walk in verses 21 and 24, again, is halak, H-A-L-A-K-H, meaning to come, to go, and to walk. So Enoch came after or followed Yehovah, God our Father, during his life, and Enoch was a righteous servant of our Heavenly Father. Please turn with me to Genesis 6. Another faithful servant of Yehovah was Noah. Yehovah called Noah and used him mightily to continue the human lineage after the flood. We read this in Genesis 6, beginning in verse 8. Genesis 6 and verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yehovah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God, Ha Elohim, the God, God our Father. Again, the Hebrew verb for walk in verse 9 is halach, to come, to go, and to walk. So Noah came after or followed Yehovah, God our Father. He received an invitation to walk, to follow the Father. Please turn with me to Genesis 12. Another patriarch that God our Father called out of this world and with whom he entered a special relationship was Abraham. The very introduction of Yehovah to Abraham started with an invitation and command. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we read, Now Yehovah said unto Abram, Get you out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, into a land that I will show you. The Hebrew verb for get you out in verse 9 is the imperative form of the verb halach, to come, to go, and to walk, which is written as lech, L-E-K-H, the first word of lech acharai. So Yehovah is commanding Abram to come out of his country and to leave everything behind, exactly like the invitation today in which we must leave everything behind in order to follow that calling. Please turn with me to Genesis 17. The relationship between Yehovah and Abram deepens as time goes on. In Genesis 17, Yehovah again invites and commands Abram to walk before him. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, we read, And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, he was 99 years old, Yehovah appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be you perfect. The verb walk in this verse is the imperative form of the same verb halach, to come, to go, and to walk. This verb form still has the ending lech, meaning to come. Please turn with me to Exodus 3. There is an invitation that the Father gives to all of these patriarchs. Please turn with me to Exodus 3. Yehovah was calling Moses and inviting him to do a mighty work. This invitation comes very quickly after Yehovah introduces himself to Moses at the burning bush. In Exodus 3 and verse 10, Exodus 3 and verse 10, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, the words of Yehovah, Come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So the very first word in that verse is come. The word come in verse 10 is again the imperative singular form of the verb halach, which is lech, meaning come. It's an invitation that the Father is laying out to Moses. This invitation using the imperative form of the verb halach is lech, meaning come, of the Hebrew infinitive halach. And it's just prevalent. It's everywhere in the Old Testament. It is an invitation used again and again and again by our Heavenly Father throughout the Old Testament. The patriarchs of old were all invited to enter into a special relationship with God our Father, and were commanded to accomplish certain tasks in their obedience and service to Him. The patriarchs and the Israelites were all invited and commanded to follow Yehovah, our Heavenly Father, and have a relationship with Him, just as we are invited today to have a special relationship with God our Father through following His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know, our Heavenly Father gave commands and warnings to the Israelites concerning following Him. And we read one of these in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6. Again, an invitation to follow Him. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6. We read, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of Yehovah, your God, your Elohim, your mighty one, to walk in His ways and to fear Him." Again, the word walk in verse 6 is the infinitive form of the verb halak, meaning to come, to go, to walk, and to follow. So our Heavenly Father is telling the Israelites that they are to keep His commandments and to follow in His ways. The Israelites were to follow Yehovah just as the students were to follow their rabbi. Later in this chapter, Yehovah warned the Israelites not to follow, not to do that same thing after other gods, but to stay true to Him. And we read this in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 19, just 13 verses later. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 19. "And it shall be if you do all at all forget the Yehovah your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." Again, the word walk in verse 19 is a conjugated form of the verb halak, meaning to come, to go, and to walk or to follow. And the Old Testament is filled with scores of verses like Deuteronomy 8 verse 19, warning Israel not to follow after other gods, which would lead to punishment and their ultimate demise. Please turn with me to 1 Kings 18 and verse 20. 1 Kings 18 and verse 20. And we'll read a portion of the famous encounter on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 20. We read in 1 Kings 18, beginning in verse 20, "So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt you between two opinions? If Yehovah be God, follow Him. But if Baal or Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of Yehovah, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Again, the word follow in verse 21 is the plural imperative or command form of the verb halak, meaning to come, to go, to walk, or to follow. Brethren, verse 21 is the all-encompassing and important decision that we all face in our lives. It is the decision that all called out ones in the past, all the patriarchs of old, all the prophets, all the righteous and faithful men and women in the Bible had to make every day of their lives. And it's the same decision that all of us today, as called out ones of our Heavenly Father, must make each and every day of our lives. Will we follow our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus? Or will we follow some other god in our lives, whether it be wealth, family, material goods, job, an easy life, or anything else that we place above our Heavenly Father and above our faithful obedience and worship of Him? The fifth point is this calling of Lech Acharai, follow me, is a continuing calling. This calling of, point number five again, is this calling of Lech Acharai, follow me, is a continuing calling. The continuing calling and drawing of our Heavenly Father to Him through Jesus Christ is a profound and important concept. I think in the past, many of us, including myself, have viewed the calling from our Heavenly Father as a one-time event. The Father calls us, and that was done. Many of us picture our Heavenly Father way off in the distance, standing at the kingdom, urging us toward Him, guiding us and leading us from there. I don't believe that that picture is correct. I believe that our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are right there with us, leading us, urging us onward, helping us, encouraging us to continue to fight the fight, to continue the walk, to continue the journey toward the kingdom together with us. Please turn with me to Exodus 13. Yehovah led the Israelites from the pillar of cloud and from the pillar of fire. And we read this in Exodus chapter 13. And we'll begin in verse 17. Exodus 13 and verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, "Let peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt." But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Skipping to verse 21, and Yehovah went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Please turn with me to Numbers 9, and we will read how Yehovah led the Israelites during the 40 years of the wilderness. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, and we'll begin in verse 20. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of Yehovah, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of Yehovah, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night, when the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it was 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. So, brethren, whenever the pillar of cloud or fire moved, whenever the Father moved, the Israelites packed up their belongings and followed it. And whenever the pillar of cloud or fire stopped, the Israelites stopped and camped. That was their life for 40 years. Our Heavenly Father leads us today in a very similar way. He leads us toward the kingdom by moving and then waiting to see if we're going to follow Him. Our Heavenly Father accomplishes this in many different ways. Through knowledge about Him that He reveals to us, through tests of our character to refine us more and more into His image. Through opportunities to serve one another, and to show mercy to one another. I firmly believe that God our Father has revealed and is revealing more and more about Himself. He imparted that knowledge to us. He moved, and He is waiting to see if we move with Him. Or will we let the pillar of cloud move away until it's out of view? I believe that our Heavenly Father moves a little bit and then sees if we will move with Him, no matter the sacrifice or the trials that come. And then when we move to Him, with time He moves a little further, waiting to see if we will follow Him. This calling, this invitation from our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, occurs again and again and again in our lives, bringing us ever closer to both of them and to the kingdom. Please turn with me to John 21. Again, this calling is not a one-time invitation to the disciples. We read previously in Matthew 4 about the calling by Jesus of Peter and Andrew with Jesus' command, "Lech acheri, come after me, follow me," at the beginning of his ministry. We read of this command to Peter again by Jesus after his resurrection. In John 21 and verse 17, John chapter 21, beginning in verse 17. Again, this is after Jesus' resurrection. "He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. And verily I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. And when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you do not want to go. And this spoke Jesus, signifying by what death that Peter should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me, lech acheri. Come after me, follow me. And then Peter, turning around, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper. This is John. And said, Lord, which is he that betrays you? So he's talking about John. Peter looks to John, and Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? And then what does Jesus say? Follow you me, lech acheri. Come after me, follow me. We see here in verses 19 and 22 that Jesus repeats the same calling to Peter that he had given him 3.5 years earlier, when Peter had been fishing with Andrew. But now the calling was for a different purpose. Brethren, we saw in Genesis 17, verse 1, that Yehovah repeated the same calling to Abraham that he gave to him earlier in Genesis 12, verse 1. Brethren, to walk in the way of our Heavenly Father and to be covered in the dust of our Lord Jesus Christ means to continuously and continually respond to that same invitation, hour by hour, day by day, deepening our relationship with both of them. Brethren, when our Heavenly Father moves forward in our journey toward the kingdom, do we follow Him? Brethren, our calling is a calling to take up our cross and follow Jesus. You know, our cross is unique to us as individuals. Our cross is different from everyone else's cross. We cannot compare our crosses with one another. Our Heavenly Father is working with each of us on a unique basis with unique trials and unique tests. You know, in John 21, Peter was attempting to compare his cross to bear with John's cross to bear, and Jesus corrected him for doing so. Brethren, our calling and invitation of lech acheri, come after me, follow me, is a continual calling and invitation that we must respond to every day of our lives. Brethren, in the sermon today, we have explored our calling, our direct invitation by our Heavenly Father to come to Jesus Christ, His Son, and to follow in His footsteps. We've explored this calling in 5 points. Point number one, follow me is the calling that we all have received. Just like the apostles and disciples of Jesus, we have all received the calling from our Heavenly Father and an invitation from Him and from Jesus to follow Him in His footsteps. Point number two, lech acheri, come after me, follow me, means to give up everything to be Jesus' disciple. Just like the students of the rabbis in Jesus' time, in order to follow Christ means that we must be willing to give up everything. Nothing can be of greater importance in our lives than following our Heavenly Father, His Son Jesus, and the truth that has been revealed to us. Point number three, we must become covered in the dust from the sandals of Jesus. Brethren, are we following Jesus and the example that He left for us so closely, so very closely, that we are covered in the dust from His sandals? Are we that close to Jesus? Are we that close to following in His footsteps and imitating His very example? Can people tell by the way we act, by the way we talk, by the way we treat others, that we are indeed covered by the dust of Jesus? Point number four. This calling of Lech Acharai was given to the patriarchs of the Old Testament. The calling given by our Heavenly Father to the patriarchs of the Old Testament, our predecessors in the faith, was a calling like our own to follow our Heavenly Father in obedience and in faith. And point number five, this calling of Lech Acharai, follow me, is a continuing calling. Our calling is a precious gift given to us by our Heavenly Father, who chose to draw us to Jesus. He's the one who chooses us and draws us to Christ. Yet that calling is not a one-time event. The Father continually is calling and leading us toward His kingdom. Our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are both saying, come after me, follow me, each and every day. The question is, will we respond? Do we respond? You know, as the Father leads us toward His kingdom, do we follow Him? Or are we like the Israelites who moved with the pillar of cloud when the pillar of cloud moved? Or are we letting that pillar move further and further and further away from us? You know, brethren, again, our salvation is not collective. Our salvation is personal and singular to each and every one of us. Our Heavenly Father has tailor-made each of our paths toward His kingdom. It's tailor-made for each and every one. It's totally unique. And He will be there with us in the entirety of our journey. And He continually calls us to follow His Son. Brethren, let's strive as never before to be covered, absolutely covered in the dust from the sandals of Jesus, by following Him closely in His footsteps and exhibiting and living the characteristics of Jesus each and every day of our lives. In doing so, our lights will shine brightly in an ever-dimming and darkening world all around us. Brethren, let's always be ready to give up everything in order to continue to follow our Heavenly Father and to walk with Him and with His Son. Brethren, let's strive to respond every day to our Heavenly Father's invitation to walk with Him and with Jesus, and to obey Him and to learn from Him. So, brethren, I again leave you today with a question. What will you do and how will you respond when you hear the command and calling, Lech Acharai, follow me?